I had the download last week that I absolutely had to do this. Here I am. They said they'll handle it from here, and I'm, God knows, I'm going to let them. They had me put together this PowerPoint in like 25 minutes. So I guess they had an agenda. Anyway, so I'm going to just leave it to them to do that, and we'll skip along. Now, we actually have 22 registered participants with anything going on, but I see a couple of people dropping in, which I'm glad to see that the link and the passcode feature is working. So let me just make a few statements, and you folks maybe can help mediate those who get in later once I go ahead and start. And that is, of course, the format for tonight's talk is, as usual, I'll bring in the consortium, Michael and the gang, and they'll do their presentation and introduction and so forth. And at that point, I'd be really appreciative, and I see most of you are already doing it, which I'm really grateful for, of course, and that is mute yourself so that I'm not picking up any of the loose sounds in your background that are going to go on to the recording. So that's much appreciated already. If when other people come in and you see that their microphones are not muted, any of you would be willing to take the forward step for me and just contact them by chat and just say, hey, could you mute yourself if you would, so that I can let that part of my focus be with the gang. So thank you for that. I thought I would start off. Just to tell you, obviously, I thought I would start off with this little cartoon, first of all, because being a kid at heart, I love cartoons. And given the fact that I also like pun and play on words as a good sage, I couldn't help but laugh when I saw this. But also, it felt very warm and welcoming. And given the fact that my casting position and my global job is welcome, I just had to smile and say, yep, this seemed appropriate. Plus, since this is a Sage Cast Warrior year, there's nothing that is so much more helpful or potentially fun than be able to laugh and just see the humor in things. And so even though this is a spiritual teaching and I bring in a spiritual entity from another, I mean, they've said it themselves and I'm going to say it. Listen, it's their opinion. They're not better than us. They have an expansion and a perspective that certainly is different from us, but we all get to go through evolution together in our own ways, in our own plays. So in any case, I wanted to just be able to share that. And I want to leave it up here just a little longer as I talk so that as more of the people come in, they can hopefully start off tonight with a smile. Most everyone who's registered for tonight is a long-term either client of mine or Michael student. So I don't have to go over too much about the Michael teaching, but I do want to talk about just for a moment how the Michael teaching has evolved through me and through the consortium. And now the fact that my particular point of view with it, I call the applied Michael approach. Many of you know that over the last 15 years or so that I have been saying that my experience of the Michael entity is that they have expanded and they are larger. They have recombined with their cadre and they have called themselves now the consortium or the Michael's consortium for people's identification. And those seven entities now still have adopted and used the entirety of the Michael teaching terminology and structure. Predominantly, of course, the overleaves, the concepts of soul age progression and the soul ages, and the notion of both physical universe and metaphysical universe created by this vast collective consciousness we call the Tao. So all of those things are the same. The major difference is that the Michael teaching, when presented as both a personality trait system and as this evolutionary gauge for people to understand, the way that things are structured. I was given the task to say, how do I assist you folks in utilizing this information in a more dynamic way? And by dynamic, I mean to step out of the boxes of just thinking of yourself as a role in soul age and understand that all those descriptors are actually terminologies, sometimes labels, but best, you know, narratives to help you understand where you are at a given time and what you might be doing. But not only that, then to forward, to actually use it in a preparatory way and in a way of design to help you aim your own consciousness and your own manifestation skills in a way that lends you to participate and create. Now, the main thing I want to say that, again, will be reiterated here is that the context of the Michael teaching has always been that it's timing in history, and why it showed up is because what Michael has said is that the human race, and indeed even planet Earth itself to a great extent, because the human species, Homo sapiens, in their evolution to become spiritually aware and whole, are going through a paradigm shift of soul age. And it is a massive one. It is the most important one in all of history for reasons that many of you know. But that change is colloquially referred to in this teaching as the young soul paradigm or era into the mature soul paradigm or era. And so the applied Michael approach is all about helping facilitate you as individuals to find language and terminology and descriptions that help make things clear for you as you make that transition yourself, but also understand ways that structurally you can contribute to it in ways that doesn't either scare the hell out of you or feel overwhelming to you. And part of it is just being the who you are and therefore doing your own personal evolution. So we are now at 10 after, and we've got 13 folks here. So the other 10 that are registered to show up, we'll just say, we love you. But if for whatever reason, punctuality is a difficult thing, well, and whatever life got in the way, we'll just roll on with them and they can listen to the recording. All, as always, folks, this material is being recorded audioly. I do not keep the video. And I will post this on the website in approximately 2 weeks after I've edited it. So you can re-listen to this and you are free to share it with who you wish. The title for tonight's talk of Michael's Consortium on 2022 Overleaves, the fourth quarter, is the update on the effects and implications of those overleaves. And, you know, again, the prompt for tonight is to remember, and you might as well see everything that's presented here with a level of humor. We know that a lot of you are going through really interesting, difficult, or just kind of bemused with uncertainty. So let's start just reviewing the overleaves that are going to be most focused upon tonight. First of all, in 2022, through us, we have talked about that this has been a warrior year, but through the sage casting. And what that means is that when you look at it in a social way, talking about words, laws, and courts have become the new battlegrounds for people to stake their claims, strengthen themselves, and to assert themselves in the world. Now, on an interpersonal level, the sage cast warrior, whether you are a warrior in your primary role or you have sage casting or not, just to know that what it means is you are presented with the warrior's energy of being challenged. So comfort is not something that is you could have expected this year. Everyone felt pushed to a degree or pulled. And to the degree that you embraced it, you could have been shoved along or actually felt quite empowered. One of the things that did that has been so prominent and then in this last quarter will be of great significance in its play out for the remainder of the last 2.5 months. Is the fact that this year has been 100% masculine energy. And what that means, if you kind of contrast the positive and negative poles, and the negative poles, we're talking about high rigidity. We don't mean necessarily stubbornness, because rigidity doesn't mean that a person is stuck. It means what they actually are is fixated on the way they do things, and they can be ruthless in the way they do things. And also, actually, very unwilling to allow for new input. And the sage caste warrior wants to argue, but argue with facts. Now, if you are in the positive poles of that 100% masculine energy, it will mean that you can find an intense level of determination, even if it's angry, even if it's willingness to butt heads. And in fact, for many of you, you've all come in contact this year with situations where you've had to do that. And we've hoped that with intense determination, you realize you're leaning forward with high rigidity. You've got your feet planted and stuck, fighting off. So you can get the difference in those two feelings. Now combine that with power mode. And so far, what you've seen on the screen here is we're talking about overleaves that are anything, but what you might call soft or flexible or pliable. Power mode is the energy about asserting oneself and bringing one's full being to bear. Now, it has been said that you could call it presence, you could call it authority, you could call it declaration. All of which, notice, our power mode is the sage mode. And so it often involves speaking, asserting your mind, and standing your principles. In the negative pole, it means you fall into somebody else's or fall under somebody else's concepts or diatribe and what have you. And from there, it can become quite oppressive, either feeling that yourself from the outside or participating with it and becoming oppressive of others. The next piece, of course, is also an expression axis quality here. And we're talking about the intellectual center. We told you last time that in the beginning of this year, first 6 months was moving center, intellectual part. And what we said in this last part of the year is it's intellectual center, moving part. And you might say that during this year, the intellectual center, the moving center, first of all, gave a lot of people a chance to get in their bodies, to really get behind and really see that they could do things on the physical plane, meaning that they could stand up achieve a goal, manifest something in the world. We talked about it has been a wonderful year for anything that has to do with travel, business, accomplishing something to build or to create, to move locations and so forth. But in both cases, now that it's shifted to intellectual center, we've saying that all the repercussions of all those actions you have taken are coming back, and they're just saying, okay, what has changing my body or becoming aware of my physical health done for me? What has it availed to me? And many people are struggling with the realizations and the understanding. Some people are, and by the way, when we say struggling, we don't mean that they're struggling necessarily with the outcomes. We mean they're still struggling to gain the clarity. And part of the reason for that is probably been the greatest, hurdle that people have faced this year has been the fact that the emotional center has been in the last place. And therefore, for many people, it has felt suppressed. It has felt stifled, or it has felt like it is being crunched into. And with that 100% masculine energy, given the fact that emotional centered energy is very feminine, it can feel very afraid. So many people have resorted to the negative pole of the intellectual center, which is rationalization, coming up with God knows how many excuses about justifying their behavior or feeling defensive about things. And in a minute, we'll see that when we talk about the chief feature of this year, and we'll just bring that up now, this last 6 months, we're really seeing that in individuals feeling frozen and feeling at odds with not being sure which way to move. And there's realities for that that are in place. So we'll jump back to this idealist and why it's so important. On an internal level, many of you are having to come to the realization that many of the belief systems or ideologies or even spiritual notions that you've held were somewhat unidimensional. They were shallow. They did not hold up to the scrutiny or the feelings of certainty that you'd hope for. And of course, ideas, the idealist means the intellectual center. It is about the mind. It is about the way that you construct your belief systems about things, as well as your aspirations. So in this period of time, many are putting their ideals not to the test so much, but they are really trying to batten down and say, what are the real basics that I need to function in my life with a sense of integrity and so forth? And all these energies are going to, in the internal world, feel to many of you like this experience that we've been talking about for over the last couple of years. That all of this is happening in this liminal time, this liminal space of paradigm shifts. And the only way that a new paradigm actually comes into being is people choose a direction. Now understand, folks, it is not a single choice. It is a choice that's over and over and over again. And in a moment, you'll see a slide that'll come up that'll talk to you about mature soul values and the fact that you need to that one needs to take action over and over and over again in their behaviors to implement that direction. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to do it right. You don't even have to be right. But when you hold in your heart and mind that you know the direction that you want to have manifest, take the steps toward that, and the next thing will be revealed. Because there is no stagnation, and there is no neutrality here. The physical plane is a binary plane. That is to say, you know, look at all of our overleaves. We talk about, you know, positive and negative poles. We could also talk about it as black and white thinking. And why we say that is because part of spiritual evolution on the physical plane is to get out of binaries. But one can be neutral in their attitude toward things, but you cannot be neutral in your behavior or in your failure to act in things that are right in front of you. And it's that difficulty that old souls particularly face when you come up against this notion that you've heard us say many times in several of our books with several of our channels, that old souls learn through terror. Many of you are feeling that terror, but because the emotional center is suppressed, it is in the background, but you feel it looming, like something will come up to scare you, almost like a boogeyman. So remember that this is the only life you have. You are the only person who has the name that you bear. You will only have a certain amount of time here left. We offer to you that the most important spiritual growth there is to embrace your physical life, the identity of who you are now. And when you do that, just say, whoever I am now, I'm doing it with my and asserting myself with interests of the future. Most of you, unfortunately, or many of you, choose, have strategies that are based on the avoidance of death or the avoidance of risk and the avoidance of being seen. That's why we said old souls are often backed into having to learn through terror. You got to get scared enough to get out of that, flight response. Or believing that neutrality is actually the same thing as hiding. And many of you won't name it that way, but you do it. So we say, choose living your life. Not so much that fear isn't there, but that living your life is more important than the fear of the consequence about death. Because folks, as we can tell you, and we can let you know, as you mature, as you become truly more in the love of your life and out of the fear of death, you will be realizing that emotional comfort is going to, especially with the evolution of the earth, the polarizations of humankind, and the difficulties of the, both happening together as old systems fail and new ones struggle to come together, that emotional comfort is going to be more and more fleeting. And truthfully, getting used to not having it and being at peace or being clear that you can not only live, you can even thrive without having it will give you a strength. So in saying that, the idea here we want to introduce, and this for many of you will seem like a shock, but if you recall the messages from Michael, we'll reiterate what we said there. Hope is not a strategy. Hope is that fleeting emotional state that if you only base your actions, only base your life on hope, then you will forever be at the effect of surrounding emotional states that then either put you in hope or hopelessness. So instead, find a deliberate purpose. And notice that is a feature of the mind. That is a feature of saying, no matter how I feel, I'm clear in the direction I want to move and move. Now, in this mature soul, young soul to mature soul era, the key thing in this will be connecting with your own network, what we call the inclusion of mutuality. That is what the mature soul era learning is about, is realizing that you are all in this together. There is only one planet, not only within your lifetime, ladies and gentlemen, within the next 4 generations, there will never be enough technology of the right kind for humanity to escape planet Earth in any significant numbers or in any meaningful way. So for those who believe that technology is somehow going to bail them out of this technological era, we would just say, think again. What is going to allow you to work together to build new ways of being and new institutions and do it in a feeling of not being overwhelmed is to create, these networks. And we're calling these networks, and we're going to do a visualization with you tonight to help you understand that what the network is about, what your network is about, is understanding your connections to other people and even your connections to other resources. So it may be institutions, it may be ideals. And in this visualization, you will hear us tell you to start off to realize you are the hub of your own network. You can say it this way: you are your own PC, your own server in the middle of this cluster of energy. But remember too, that part of mutuality is that you are also parts of other people's networks. And maybe this visualization will give you some clue to that as to which ones. Those of you who are parents know that you are not the centers of your child's universe, but you are certainly important nodes in their networks, in their universe, and they to yours. So understand that these are the themes and key words. So what that means in practicality is something that we said in the last quarterly update, is that many of you have been rearranging and restructuring your relationships, putting up, and this is where the discrimination and acceptance energy of this year has been so significant. Now, notice we didn't mention it specifically in that last slide, but it's significant in that it's ongoing and will be continually ongoing over the course of the next 5 to 10 years, because you will be building these networks, restructuring, people will filter in, filter out. And by the way of analogy, for those of you who are familiar with the part of this teaching that we call support circles, you can also think of your own network as having a significant potential input and even useful kind of structural labeling when you consider the idea of your support circle. So you can bring that in when you're doing your homework on this. So what we'd like to show you, of course, is in talking about paradigm change, we want to give you some three quotes from, you know, a very prominent paradigm changer. And of course, we're talking about old soul artisan Albert Einstein. Because in fact, his knowledge, his information, more than just in the scientific realm, has literally changed the structure of human thinking in the 20th century under the concept of relativity. Not just scientific, but the realization of human philosophical understanding that most absolutes really don't exist other than in the mind, and that there are constant scales of energy always being reformatted and rechanged, even if they do follow a structure. And here's one that is really important to underscore the idea of paradigm shift, is that problems cannot be solved with the same mindset that created them. So what does that mean? In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the problems of humanity today, created or manufactured or influenced by the awareness of the baby and young soul mentalities that have shaped the cultures and societies of the earth up to this point, and that you see, you know, carrying out or seeing the consequences thereof, it is impossible that, for instance, things like capitalism or war just distribution of monetary resources is going to solve your problems. Nor is, quote, just working harder. And even the notion of working smarter, even though that part is more along the lines of the new or mature soul paradigm. Instead, what happens is the embrace of newness, this idea that's often passively used as think outside the box, now means absolutely that. And what we would say on a larger global scale is that very many are starting to think outside the box, but the boxes are owned by the very powerful and still ensconced in the under the control of the few who have those resources. Now, what that means for you as individuals, another Einstein quote, is a man, and we put person there in parentheses, because Einstein wasn't particularly a misogynist or a sexist. He was a man of his time, so he used the terminology thereof. So a person should look for what is, and not what he or she thinks it should be. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, this refers directly back to our discussion with you of the intellectual center and the reformation of the idealist. And the sage and the warrior have to be honest and attack their own beliefs and their own viewpoints and say, are these things really holding water? Do they work? And will they really stand up against falsehood? And this is the last one, and this is really aimed to a great extent to the one of the unfortunate misnomers that was brought into much of the New Age under the concept of manifestation and being. And that is, you know, in theory, there is no difference between theory and practice. And of course, many of you recognize that concept of, you know, if you think it, somehow it will just float into manifestation. Well, that has never been the case. It always takes the concentration of a thought into behavior, into action, and then going through the cycle of feeling and seeing the reaction and reality of it, and then going through the cycle again. And the last part of that phrase, though, is the more important one that brings us to our point. However, in practice, there is a difference. Theories do not get human beings anywhere, but they set up a mental frame of reference which people can either use as a foundation or as a curtain to hide behind. To come out from one, out behind of one paradigm, everyone needs to come from behind the curtain. Many of you who know the allegory of the Wizard of Oz knows of the great and mighty Oz hid behind a curtain with technology, you know, with but loud and booming voice, with threats. But Dorothy, the vulnerable, the week stood her ground and stood there until, interestingly enough, the little being of Toto pulled aside the curtain. So find your inner Toto, if you will, and pull aside the curtain of those things that keep you, in theory, but not in practice. Because what we're talking about here and what the warrior masculine year has presented you and is continually going to be reminding you of is, some of you have seen this photograph or ones like it that we have presented in talk about the concept of liminality. And liminal space or liminality is that period where you are suspended, essentially, but in motion between the safe ledge that you just left and the one you're hoping like hell that when you land on it, it's not only just going to be there, but that when you land on it, it's going to hold. And of course, the willingness to make that leap is a huge risk. It takes tremendous courage. And the warrior in you is the archetype of courage. When you harness it, when people fail to harness their courage and instead let their anger become something like hate or fear or defensiveness, then it becomes simply aggression. So what we want to say to you to help you understand what you're going to be doing or what you'll be facing has been said by old soul scholar Bertrand Russell. And we put it in concept of what you see in the world, because indeed, the false confidence of the young and baby soul through its willing ignorance, through its assertion of absolute dogmatic ideologies and so forth, have often caused mature and old souls to want to shy away from saying anything out loud and put you in the untenable bonds of self-doubt and then self-censorship. And as you see what he said, the whole problem with the world is that fools and fanatics are always so certain of themselves and wiser people. And yes, we mean as a class, wiser people being older souls are so full of doubts. Well, what we would like to say to all of you is you know enough, older souls. You do. You might not be certain of the method. You may not be certain of the outcome. But you know the direction that you and this world needs to take, and it's away from the status quo that has been there. So any place, anywhere, anytime you can find yourself making those choices, remember, it's choice. It's choosing a different direction. And you turn in a different direction rather than the old, then you will make the contribution. We mentioned a little earlier, and we wanted to put this up there in case to help give you a sense of something to anchor into. These are the core values of the mature soul paradigm. And the old soul has elements of it that also come with it. And we've called that the humane being. And we'll touch on that more as we go on today. But notice that the mature soul values are all based on this concept of expanded personal awareness, inclusion of what is. In other words, meeting reality on an even keel for what it is, as Einstein said. And the idea of mutuality is no one has to do this alone. And indeed, no one will ultimately achieve anything if you try and do it by yourselves. It will not work. So as we talked about creating your networks and really beginning to strengthen them will be really important. But then notice here, there's a few things that is important to understand. That you notice that victory, ambition, success, power, achievement, and dominance are not part of this list. Now, they have been stepping stones to the mature soul era. That's true. And please understand, it does not mean that you never hone your sights on creating or working hard toward a successful outcome, or working hard to defeat what you know to be a wrong or a dysfunctional way of doing things. Not at all. It just means that those are subordinate to these. And what are we talking about? Personal accountability, meaning that you realize that you are the person that if you initiate an action, sometimes they may have wonderful results. Other times they may have very difficult and unwanted consequences. But being benevolent to yourself as well as another person is not just the same as justice. It means understanding when you need to be hard and tough, as well as when you need to be compassionate and understanding. Brotherhood or sisterhood is understanding both equality and equity, which are listed there separately. But why it's important is because brotherhood means that other human beings share the same kind of feeling states that you do. They may do terrible things with their behavior. They may be sick in the mind and do horrendously cruel things. And in the same way, people may be ultimately soft and incapable of, asserting themselves. But these are all travails of the human being and part of the entire manifestation of the aging of souls in this species. Equality just simply means equal, meaning valid application to everyone about everything. Every human being here has just as much of an equal right and just as much as equal duty and responsibility to this place. Equity, however, means many do give more and many do produce more and some take more and get less than others. Equity is the reshaking of those proportional qualities and proportional rewards and consequences. Integrity. Integrity is ultimately something that is within yourself. And that is truth within yourself. But integrity to an institution or a principle is something that you can do by virtue of just of holding it up for accountability and scrutiny. To do that, you must have transparency and be able to see all the parts going on. When there's a lack of solidarity, you must have solidarity to at least those you trust, and you've got to be able to rely on them. And it all comes down to you. We use the word authenticity there, but we really need you to understand it means telling yourself the truth first. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the first place that lies, deception, deceit, distortion, and falsehoods happen are within the self. And often facing those are very, very difficult. Remember the true interpretation of the biblical adage from John. It's often misrepresented and has the quality of victimhood and martyrdom attached to it. And that is, and the truth shall set you free. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the accurate biblical interpretation. The accurate biblical interpretation is one of accountability and acknowledging the difficulty, because it is actually, and the truth shall make you free. And it is the freedom then to be responsible and to go forward, not just evade and feel like you are under oppression. So